The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, as we learn to be with our body, this series is called The Depth of the Body, we'll begin to experience tranquility of the body. And we can discover ways in which the body and the mind can find harmony, at least in some areas, and then maybe spread that out. And that degree of harmony that we can find supports our well-being. So the body is a tremendous support for well-being in the mind and the heart. So we'll unpack this a bit today. So there is a sutta that is devoted entirely to mindfulness of the body. And for those of you who like references, it's MN 119, the Kaya Gatasati Sutta. And I find this to be a very interesting sutta because the Buddha communicates many of the teachings about body practice through images. It seems to be, you know, somehow that was what he was inspired to talk about when he talked about how to be mindful of the body and how to use mindfulness of the body to develop the path to awakening. So I want to convey some of these images today. And, you know, you can maybe just rest in the images that are offered. They're not really meant as visualizations. You know, we don't need to put them up into our cognitive mind in a certain way. But they're, I mean, you can imagine the image, but I think it's meant more as a visceral experience to try to touch in what into what that would feel like to being conveyed by the image. So there are a series of meditative states where the mind and the body become deeply unified. These are actually known about in many traditions, but they're described in a particular way in this tradition. So perhaps you've heard the word samadhi. This literally means collected together or composed or gathered. And there are many different forms of it. There isn't just one correct way to do it or one experience of it. And there are many different levels of it also. You know, we can have some degree of genuine samadhi actually in daily life if our mind is sufficiently unified around what we're doing. And then there are also, you know, many meditative states that have this quality of being gathered together. So I brought the text with me today, and I thought I would actually just read some of these images. Some of you may have heard them, but nonetheless, they're really nice to just listen to. So here's one. Just as a skilled bathman or a bathman's apprentice heaps bath powder in a metal basin and, sprinkling it gradually with water, kneads it until the moisture wets the ball of bath powder, soaks it, and pervades it inside and out, and yet the ball itself does not ooze, so too a practitioner or meditator makes the rapture and pleasure born of seclusion drench, steep, fill, and pervade this body so that there is no part of their whole body unpervaded by the rapture and pleasure born of seclusion. It's a really nice image. So we have this rapture and pleasure pervading and filling the body. And in this particular image, we kind of work them into the body, like working water into bath powder, according to this image. We don't really use bath powder, but we could imagine flour, say, working the water into it to make a nice dough, something like that. And so there's a sense, and this is at the beginning of when one starts to practice this on the cushion. So maybe there's a sense that we need to kind of connect the body and the mind together. There's two different things being unified through our effort of filling the body with rapture and pleasure in some way. And that's kind of nice. And then after that, it goes on to images that are much more about water. There's a sense of water, the purity, clearness of water. So here we have this image, just as though there were a lake whose waters welled up from below, and it had no inflow from east, west, north, or south, and would not be replenished from time to time by showers of rain, then the cool fount of water welling up in the lake would make the cool water drench, steep, fill, and pervade the lake, so that there would be no part of the whole lake unpervaded by cool water. So too, a meditator makes the rapture and pleasure born of concentration drench, steep, fill, and pervade this body, so that there is no part of their whole body unpervaded by the rapture and pleasure born of concentration. So as we get a little bit more settled, there's this lake image where the lake doesn't have any rain coming in. It doesn't have any streams coming in. Maybe it's a mountain lake, and it's fed by an underwater spring. And the waters from that come up and fill the entire lake. And we're to imagine the body as being like a lake. And there's a way in which this well-being that we're experiencing begins to well up from within. You know, maybe before we were thinking about external reasons why we could have well-being. The body is feeling calm. I've managed to get it quiet in my house. You know, I'm at ease because I just had that good cup of tea. You know, we're kind of settling in. But these are a little bit external. And then there's a point where something internal kicks in and the body has a sense, body and mind have a sense of well-being that comes entirely from inside. And then it goes on. We'll just look a little bit farther. And then we have an image of lotuses in the water. And it says, there's a pond with blue, red, and white lotuses. Some lotuses are born and grow in the water, and they thrive immersed in the water without rising out of it. And the cool water drenches, steeps, fills, and pervades these lotuses to their tips and their roots, so that there is no part of the lotuses unpervaded by cool water. And so too, the meditator feels this sense of rapture and ease. Actually, at that point, there's only pleasure and ease filling the body. So it's the same kind of image, but it's actually a little bit more settled. Instead of having a bubbling spring coming up and filling the lake, we can imagine some dynamic motion from that. There's instead a sense of just a lotus standing still with the water all around it. It's a calmer image, if you will. You know, and then it goes on in certain ways. They're quite amazing images. And you know, they're not, as I said, they're not meant as visualizations. We don't sit and imagine ourselves as a lotus, but they're meant to describe experiences that we can have when the mind begins to rest with a single object with a fairly good continuity of attention. And these are natural occurrences. There's nothing that we need to force into existence for these things to come about. So I think what I want to convey with these is that this is a state that's very healing. You know, the mind and the body become healed through this strong presence of the body in these visceral bodily type images. If we just stay in the mind during our meditation, it doesn't penetrate perhaps as deeply into these more sensory-based images. So there's a way that they bring healing and wholeness to our system. So many of us are looking for healing in certain ways from meditation. And my sense is that samadhi is really a good possibility for that. It may be how the Buddha encouraged that among his followers. So the Buddha isn't done with images yet in this sutta. He describes all these meditative images, but he then goes on to talk about the kind of wholesome strength that comes when we are connected deeply with the body. And he says that a person who has very well developed mindfulness of the body, for such a person, Mara, who is the force that represents distraction as well as unwholesomeness in Buddhist teachings, what it says is Mara cannot find an opportunity or a support in that person. And so then there's a bunch of images about that. And maybe I'll just read one of those too. So when the mind is not well developed, when mindfulness of the body is not well developed, it says, suppose a person were to throw a heavy stone ball upon a mound of wet clay. What do you think? Would that heavy ball find entry into that mound of wet clay? And of course, the monks say, yes, yes, it would. And then the Buddha goes on and says, well, for somebody who has well-developed mindfulness of the body, suppose a person were to throw a light ball of string at a door panel made entirely of heartwood. What do you think? Would that light ball of string find entry through that door panel made entirely of heartwood? And of course, the monks say no. So the Buddha says, well, in the same way, someone without well-developed mindfulness of the body, Mara, can find an opportunity, just like a ball entering wet clay. Whereas for someone with well-developed mindfulness of the body, Mara cannot find any entry or opportunity, just as if throwing a light ball of string at a wooden door panel. And there are other images given also. So there's a sense then that mindfulness of the body creates a lot of inner strength in a person. You know, the mind and the body become unified. And even if we don't go into, you know, very deep states of meditation, there's a way that I think even just over time, having a lot of mindfulness of the body gradually imparts more and more strength to the system. And I see that as being related to the what I was calling alignment and coherence. You know, a system that is coherent is stronger than one that's kind of scattered and going in lots of different directions. And this strength has very practical effects. According to the sutta, there are a whole bunch of then benefits listed of mindfulness of the body. I won't go through all of them, but here are a few. One becomes a conqueror of discontent and delight. Discontent does not conquer oneself. And one abides overcoming discontent whenever it arises. One becomes a conqueror of fear and dread and abides overcoming them whenever they arise. One bears heat and cold, hunger and thirst, contact with gadflies, mosquitoes, wind, the sun, and creeping things. One endures ill-spoken, unwelcome words and arisen bodily feelings that are painful and even life-threatening. So there's a lot of endurance and strength that comes through mindfulness of the body. Practicing this will help us become more resilient in the face of life. Maybe we don't have gadflies, but maybe we do. Mosquitoes, wind, the sun, and creeping things. So the inconveniences and difficulties of the natural world, heat and cold, hunger and thirst. How about ill-spoken, unwelcome words? Mindfulness of the body can help us become strong in the face of those, as well as other mental and physical difficulties, discontent, arisen bodily feelings that are painful. And I noticed that it even includes delight. We become a conqueror of delight. So, of course, we, you know, it's not that we don't want to have pleasure and delight in our life. That's fine. But we become conquered by them if we can be drawn in and knocked off balance, made giddy, if you will, by pleasure and excitement. So also mindfulness of the body will help us to remain grounded during pleasant experiences. So this is quite a lot of good things that come from mindfulness of the body. And then later down in the list, it goes on even to say that we can reach awakening through liberation, through mindfulness of the body. And the Buddha knew what he was talking about from his own experience. It said in another part of the teachings that when the Buddha, before his awakening, was contemplating how he might reach awakening, he remembered a time when he was sitting peacefully under a rose apple tree, watching his father below conduct a plowing ceremony in the field. And he was a boy at the time, so he was not participating. He was just watching from under the tree. And his mind spontaneously became unified and peaceful, you know, there in the world, sitting under the tree. And he thought to himself, as he remembered this, just before his awakening, he remembered back to this, and he thought, is this the way to awakening? It is. He had the insight, oh, that's the way. And that was his inspiration to sit down under the Bodhi tree and have the insights that led to his waking up. So this gently unified mind that we're cultivating is quite important for setting us up to be able to see clearly and deeply. And tomorrow's topic will be the body as a vehicle of insight. So if you can join then, I will see you then. Be well.